Yeah, bebop and jazzy start. Some jazz and conversation here on the round table on a beautiful Wednesday morning, 13 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe. It's the round table panel. Our email address is roundtable@wamc.org. And what a panel today. Good heavens, it is the dream team of panels. Possibly the smartest three people I have ever seen together in one room at the same time.
Is Donald Trump here?
Nary a gray cell. Room for one more. The whole studio would just burst. It's so full of intelligence. It's a Mensa meeting on the air. Mike Spain is here from the TU. Mike, nice to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Judy Patrick, associate editor.
No, that's my time. There's no associate editor.
I'm not the top person.
Judy Patrick is the numero uno, the editor at the Daily Gazette. And Alan is here as well. Good morning, all. Nice to have you here.
That was pretty dismissive.
What?
Yeah, and Alan is here. You give all of their bona fides, and you come to me and you say, you know, and Alan is here also.
Well, it's an embarrassment of riches today. It's nice to have you all here on the program.
And when you were talking about the gray cells and everything else, I noticed that your tongue seems to be stable to your inside of your...
No, I think these two are very smart. I think they're very smart.
Oh, there you go again. Oh, that was a shot. That was a shot. I think these two, but not you, Buster.
The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Democrats are showcasing divisions in their ranks after months when the story of the 2016 presidential campaign focused on divided Republicans. Simmering tensions between Bernie Sanders backers and other Democrats, including party leaders, burst into the open following an ugly fracas instigated by Sanders supporters at the Nevada Democratic Party convention over the weekend. Top Democratic Party leaders pressured Sanders to denounce the night of hostility and death threats. He responded with defiance, terming some complaints nonsense, and reminding that millions of Americans are outraged at establishment politics. Hillary Clinton and Sanders battled to a neck-and-neck outcome in Kentucky's presidential primary. That was close last night. Sanders easily won Oregon and vowed to soldier on. Clinton is still the favorite to win, but looking more and more like there will be some action at the Philadelphia convention.
Well, I think there's going to be action, Ray, if I may say. But the NPR this morning said Hillary is now within 100 votes of securing the nomination.
If you count the superdelegates.
Well, you think these guys are, I'm talking to them all on the congressional corner and everything. They're not going to change.
Is there a pregnant pause here?
I
think if anything, what the Bernie supporters want is a place to a seat at the table at the convention. They want to be able to talk about their ideas. They're clearly saying that at this point. I think the reality, I think they see the math, but they still say we have so much popular support that we want our issues discussed and considered when it comes time to hold the convention in July.
July.
Mm-hmm. Respectfully, I'm not so sure. I think Sanders supporters want their guy in, and they.
I think there's people who are denying the reality of the numbers and think that there's some kind of scenario whereby Bernie might get the nomination.
So the pledged delegates 1,773 for Clinton, for Sanders 1,482, I believe, as of this morning.
And how many you need?
2,382, I believe, but that would include the superdelegates.
Right. And I agree with Alan. There has been no indication of wavering by superdelegates that they would switch for him.
Well,
unless something unexpected happens.
Quoted in CNN this morning, Sanders campaign manager Jeff Weaver said that the close race in Kentucky was a sign that a lot of Democrats are having second thoughts about Clinton. Quote, the media is ready to call this race over, but I think voters in the various states want to see this race go on.
Yeah, well, maybe that's true, but you don't get to have a do-over. They don't do do-overs. So you could say, well, you know, here's from Jim and Nancy wrote to us. Nancy said, Bernie chose to run as a Democrat with the rules well established. Now that he's losing, he doesn't like the rules or the Democrats. I've great respect for him. Not anymore. His divisive rhetoric would leave us with Donald Trump for president. Drop the ego, Bernie. And Jim says, dear roundtablers, the Sanders delegates to the Nevada convention are being unfairly smeared and branded by a lazy, compliant media as Bernie bro rioters upset by losing delegates. Nothing could be further from the truth,
well,
and then goes on.
Have you heard the audio of the call that the Nevada Democratic Party chairman got? And basically, at one point, the guy said, well, you know, you should be hung. So
it's regarded as a death threat.
I don't know if it's an actual death threat, but it was certainly not a pleasant call to take.
No.
Now, there's some real anger here, and it's ironic to me. Of course, it's a year that nobody predicted anything. Who could think that in May we'd be sitting here talking about the fights on the floor of a state convention of Democrats in Nevada, and possibly that kind of anger emulating what happened in 1968 going on in Philadelphia? And it's the same week that all these Republicans who said horrible things about Donald Trump are saying, well, you know, he's not so bad. You know?
It's kind of a strange, bizarro twist of the whole thing. Now, the Democratic Party convention is in Philadelphia in July. And I don't know if you saw page one of the New York Times today, Bernie Sanders facing pressure over supporters' actions in Nevada. But quoting this piece, in interviews, several Sanders supporters threatened to disrupt the party's convention in Philadelphia in July with protests and nonviolent disobedience over a nominating system that they say has treated Mr. Sanders unfairly. In emails, on social media, and on websites, his supporters have traded advice about protest tactics and legal services in case of mass arrests. I think Philadelphia is going to be the show to watch.
Could be.
Although the Republicans are planning a big show for their convention. They're going to make it very entertaining.
Yeah, we'll have up with people
I think there's going to be some star power there. It's going to be something
up
to watch.
People.
Up with people, remember?
We haven't seen them for a long time.
Maybe the Starland vocal band, you know.
So the question is, what will get higher ratings? The protests at the Democratic convention or the up with people at the Republican convention? My bet is the up with people is going to get far more viewers than the political gnashing of the teeth. I think there's only so many people that are concerned about politics.
I think the Democratic Party leaders are now very concerned.
As well they should be, because if what happened in Nevada happens in Philadelphia, they're going to have something of a crisis on their hands.
And what happened in Kentucky yesterday is painful, I think, for the Clinton people. Clinton mopped up Obama 8 years ago in Kentucky, and she lost by less than a percentage point, a couple of thousand votes to Bernie, she won by under 2,000 votes. I mean, that cuts that margin a great deal. Her popularity is not where it was there. At this point in the election, her popularity is waning, it would appear.
Well, that's a funny thing. Now, by June 7th, regardless of who wins California, it's likely that Hillary Clinton will have enough delegates by the time June 7th
is done. Oh, I think
so.
I mean, I think if you do the math, that's extraordinarily likely. Yes.
So I don't see the Sanders supporters going quietly into the night. Honestly, do not.
Well, the big question is, what does Bernie Sanders want and what do his supporters want? And I think Judy was saying that before. They want a place at the table. They want planks in the platform. They want to be respected. And I'll tell you, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is not reaching out to them. The question is, should they succumb and say, okay, we'll bow to Hillary and we'll support her? Or should the party say, you guys have got something really big there. This is what we need to do to bring you in. And this is a debate that's going on. And while it's going on, guess who's marching to the White House? It's Donald Trump.
Well, I think we might be jumping the gun there.
Well, the Republicans are falling in line behind him, even his opponents.
The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Anything in the old mailbag?
Well, one good question, and I'm not a good speller, so I should not make this is either a brilliant letter or from a non-speller. And it says, Trump wins, and then it says, capital D, dies, D-Y-E-S, from a heart attack. Then what? Okay, so the dies mean, dies his hair?
Mm. Well, it could be red dye number three, which I think might
change. Yeah, so, you know, it could be.
Too much of that stuff is very bad for you, I hear. Of the hair dye.
I know.
Oh, you're talking about his hair.
I think that's what
that was. We didn't know whether that was the
Lucille Ball reference. Remember, she used some Egyptian.
You're ruining you're disillusioning me.
What do you mean?
That wasn't real.
Oh, her hair wasn't real. Gee, I don't know. Maybe that'll be the next segment on the roundtable.
Okay, so you want more or not?
If we must.
No, you said.
No, please do.
Okay.
I have time.
No, you're the boss. Hi, panel. That was a shot. That was definitely a shot. Okay. Hi, panel. Los Angeles Times about the Nevada convention violence. Mother Jones, convention chaos. Associated Press, ruckus. There's no factual reporting across the spectrum. This is shameful.
Haven't you seen the video?
Well, there were no chairs in the video being thrown. They just showed them picking up chairs.
They were just showing off the hey, look at the bottom of this chair. Hey,
I remember one of the news 24-hour news people out there, and they and it was a Trump rally, and they said something like, "There's been no violence yet." In other words,
Got
this
it.
Is what always makes the deal. Okay, so what does Peter say? With all due respect, you are all missing the point. We are upset about losing because all the voter fraud and suppression that no one seems to care about. And that's from Peter. And
that's a strong undercurrent. And I think that's why Philadelphia will not be a restful, peaceful place in July.
Well, a lot can happen between now and July. And just the way that the Republican Party is healing, perhaps the Democrats.
Well, the Democratic Party, though, and so I would say to put ourselves in the shoes of hardcore Sanders supporters who say the Democratic Party establishment has had it in for our candidate in the beginning. You have, again, quoting from the New York Times piece, Barbara Boxer, who says we can't just have a repeat of what happened in Nevada in Philadelphia because it's distressing, Ms. Boxer said. I have a message to the Bernie people who are planning to be disobedient because the system is rigged. Here's the thing. They should support the Democratic candidate who got the most votes. They should support the Democratic candidate who got the most delegates. There is nothing to protest. That, while it may be true, is not a real olive branch to those Bernie supporters.
No, it's somewhat dismissive.
Yeah.
It has na-na-na-na-na-na in it. Right.
Judy says, thank you, Ray. I keep giggling when you are on the show. I love it. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
It makes one of you.
Karen Walker. After listening to Vox Pop in recent days, if one more person says that the polls show that Bernie Sanders does better than Hillary against Trump in the general election, I'm going to scream. Sanders has been totally unscathed thus far by the media, Republicans and Hillary. If he wins the primary and becomes a Democratic nominee.
I think that's a point. There hasn't been a lot of
scrutiny.
Yeah.
Right.
I've been saying that all along.
You have.
I have.
Hey, to your great credit, sir, you, before anyone else.
Yeah, me, before anyone
a
else.
Year ago,
yes,
said
a year
Trump
ago.
Could win the nomination. And everyone said, you're
and I've been saying,
off base,
and
sir.
I've been saying since, for several months now, don't kid yourself. He could win the election. He could. You know, there was a great series of articles in the New York Times. The first three scenarios, and they gave you the whole electoral map
right.
And where the people were, saying that Hillary was going to win. And the fourth said that the T word would win.
You could say Trump.
Oh no, yeah. We've been saying it today, Alan. Yeah. I don't think the ban on the use of
it's not
of
a
the
Trump free
name.
Tuesday.
Well, no, the reason
morning zoo.
The reason I'm saying that, Mike,
right,
is
yeah.
that, and their explanation, very convoluted, was he would get more votes. In other words, we don't really know who's coming out to vote. Is right. there really a big silent majority in this country? Is there a good moral, big moral majority? I mean, that's who Trump is aiming to. And we
the moral majority, really?
Of course.
Hey, listen, we have to take a break, and then we'll get back to more of your letters and wrap up the first half hour. I have been remiss. We are way overdue for a break.
Okay. You're
right,
the boss.
Okay, all right.
Support for WAMC comes from Adelphi University Hudson Valley Center, offering a Master of Social Work degree, full-time, part-time, day, evening, weekend options, online, in-person, hybrid courses, adelphi.edu for more information. Seneca Lake Wine Trail, presenting the Smoke and Summer Kickoff Weekend. Over 30 wineries pair their wines with seasonal foods and summertime dishes. June 10th through 12th, SenecaLakeWine.com. And the Ashokan Center, presenting a uke extravaganza, featuring six ukulele soloists playing jazz, Hawaiian, folk, blues, and rock on Saturday, May 28th at 8 p.m., where nature inspires, AshokanCenter.org.
Hey, it's the round table. Boy, what a rollicking good time we've had. Any more letters?
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
All right, fill some time, babe.
Okay, fill some time. Okay. You are receiving this email. Okay, we don't want that one.
No.
Okay. Whoa. You know, I can understand if your fingers.
In fact, the subject line of that email, just so everyone can hear it, says important message for millennials.
Yeah.
Ah, Mr. Well, Chartok got it.
That ain't you, unless it was the 1800 to 1900 sort of.
Well, you know, here's the thing of it. I know people attack me for this, but, you know, my fingers,
They're, yeah, well, you got performance anxiety.
Oh, sometimes these devices that we that have touch screens don't always work.
Yeah, you got to wash your hands before you use it.
All right, but you know, it's interesting.
One of the emails asked if Bobby Knight was at the Nevada convention. I thought that was amazing. Yeah.
Well, he's from Indiana, right?
But, you know, he had a primary.
People
a
like him because he's, you know, he gets into fights.
Oh, that's a good point.
He's a fighter.
I believe he did support Trump.
Honestly, he did.
Oh, yeah, no. And unfair media coverage and early superdelegate counts, do you think it had negative impact on Sanders' vote tallies? And John says, I like Bernie. That said, Bernie supporters, the nominating system has been stacked for decades. It's not directly explicitly at Sanders. It's not all about you. If you don't like the current system, get involved outside of election years. Get involved in local elections. Grow up and do the work.
Well, with all due respect, it's all about them at this moment.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. But these rules were put in place back in the 70s, you know, after McGovern.
After that rousing success.
Yes, right. The 1972 election. You know, these rules were basically put in place so that the party can control who the nominee is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a good point to object to them if you think it unfairly. Attacks your candidate.
I agree with the letter writer.
Josh says, "Hi, folks. Just an FYI." And this has to do with Lucy's dye.
Ah, yes. He's Egyptian.
But you're not a Maharinus. That's the quote. You're not, but you're the... Oh, no, but you're the Maharinus. I'm not a Maharinus. I'm a Henarinus. That must have been something from the show, and I'm sure I didn't do it justice.
Maybe Henarinus.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
we're going to look it up.
Don't you see?
Okay.
No, it seems to me that a conversation says somebody named Art. That the conversation should be about governance. Politics is not all that matters, and that might be the problem. Read the conversation.
No, I didn't know there was a problem. I've been having a good time.
And Anthony says, good morning, Roundtable.
Good morning.
Hillary might have the numbers, but Bernie has the momentum. You see the momentum with scenes of large Bernie rallies. That's true. You hear the numbers, but numbers are dry and boring. Light travels faster than sound, and that's from Anthony.
Okay, we'll have to stop there, old sport, and we'll take a break for news. We'll be back on the other side of the Brits. Siesta down Mexico way. That's Lou Donaldson on the Roundtable. Conversation on your Wednesday morning. By the way, WAMC.org is the place to be. I know you newspapers have websites too, but this is the place to be. WAMC.org. The lockbox is open. And by gosh, if you want to shorten the fund drive, which starts the first Monday in June, you go, you make a secure pledge to the lockbox. There are inducements. You can get stuff.
What's an inducement?
It means please. It's like Pitocin for pledging.
Pitocin?
It's a pregnancy thing. When you want to induce labor, you get the Pitocin.
Oh, I see. Thought it had to do with phlegm in the throat.
That's pertussis. You're thinking of whooping cough.
Mr. Spain is holding up a wonderful black and white T-shirt.
Okay,
it is gorgeous.
A $100 pledge into the lockbox now will get you a vote for WAMC, a T-shirt. Beautiful. It has our logo on the front, the microphone with the lethal radiation coming off. And on the back, it's a vote for WAMC with a check mark. Very nice. And then I guess you get a coffee mug as well.
Yes, with the same symbols of our authority.
Here it is. Yeah. So if you're watching at WAMC.org, there it is right there.
Yeah.
And a $100 pledge will get you that. And that's a one-time only thing we are doing. The lockbox is now at $140,038.
And Tony Miola says we get another $5,000 of his money, big bucks, if we can make this. He's a
very
good
guy. What do we have to make?
Oh, we have to make $400,000 and match what we did last year.
$400 by when?
By
the start of the drive.
The first day of the drive.
Well, you better get cracking.
Now, the great part is, it's, you know, the on-air drive, it's $1 million fund drive. We go in with $400,000 or $500,000. That shortens the drive significantly.
I found Judy's comment very helpful.
What was that?
Well, you better get cracking.
If you want to get cracking, it's WAMC.org, and that is the website. You can feed the lockbox. Our email address on this, I guess you call it a program, is a roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, do we have any email before
we have
move
a
on?
Very, very important one from Ray. Not you, but somebody named Ray.
All right, sir.
To the roundtable. Great music. Discussion, not so much.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Okay.
Let's play some more music.
Right. Aissa and Ron say, hey, panel, I would like to see a play-by-play of what actually happened in Nevada from a neutral source. I read an account from a Bernie supporter who said that the chair was changing the rules on the fly and by voice vote and was ignoring the nays, and that's why it got ugly. The rule changes benefited Hillary. Mainstream news isn't really going into any detail. I'm actually a Hillary supporter, but I'm very concerned if anyone's being treated unfairly in the process. I would like to know what actually happened. Any thoughts?
You know, on early Sunday morning, I was looking for information about this. The Las Vegas Sun was there and covered it. There has been some video out there. It's not like that it was totally ignored, but I think it was a little bit of mayhem up in the front, and it was hard for people to actually cover it. There was no camera.
Look like a funeral. The video I saw.
Well, look. You know, as you know, I'm a Bernie person. I like Bernie very much. I still like him, and I'm concerned that there are all of people who go into these huge cavernous stadiums, and support Bernie. You know, so you get one idiot. Should one idiot deprecate all of those screaming, wonderful people who love Bernie? I mean, that and his philosophy, that seems to me to be the issue here.
Well, then you have to play by the same rules when an idiot Trump supporter does something bad. Then, right?
I couldn't agree more.
Okay. All right. Fair
enough. And the media got criticized. I don't want this to be the media project, but the media was criticized as well when we covered Trump protests or Trump acts of violence at Trump events, both for Trump supporters and Trump opponents. I mean, there was always complaints that we were covering one more heavily than the other.
That's always the way, though, in the political season. Media outlets cannot do anything right depending on what angle you're looking at.
Well, we have a lot of angry people out there.
Yeah. And I'm sure you do in the papers
as well.
There
are.
Yeah.
There are.
And that just shows you how heated this is. And it'll only get worse through November unless we make a policy now on this program not to talk about politics at all.
Well, Ed says, Bernie would do better if he urged his supporters to vote for Democratic senators and congressmen if he really wants to achieve progress.
Well, you know, that's the same thing going on with Donald Trump right now. He's making nice with the party leadership, helping them raise money, and will support the down-ticket candidates if they want his support.
If they want, and Mike Spain, that's the key. If they want him, and I think there will be several who say,
I'll support them or be against him, whichever helps him the most.
And Ethan had something to say. Dear Roundtable, Bernie supporters have withstood misreporting, see Miss Judy, in the Iowa caucuses, Bill Clinton holding up lines in Massachusetts, voters' affiliation being suddenly altered in Arizona and New York. There was no violence.
There was no violence in Nevada?
That's what she's saying.
You know, it would be a shame. I mean, one of the things about the Bernie Sanders movement has been drawing so many young people into the politics or having them interested. It would be a terrible shame if they walked away from this totally disinterested for the rest of their lives. And that is the real danger here.
Well, I think there is a segment of the American society that does not buy into the political system. And every once in a while, somebody runs for political office, be it, a Ralph Nader or somebody like that. And those people, like the grasshoppers, you know, they wake up and then they come out.
The locusts?
Yeah, then they go away. I'm one of them. I mean, you know, look, this is when Bernie Sanders is talking about a revolutionary effort here. It's revolution. Remember that half the people don't vote in a presidential election, and that's our most popular election. So they get a chance, and when they get a chance, they don't want to be robbed of that chance, and they're quite vocal.
Alan, how would you recommend, if you were Hillary Clinton were to call you, because, you know, she's talked to you a lot.
She has.
And she said, Alan, what's your opinion? How should we bring in the Bernie supporters and make them part of this process? What would you recommend to her?
For Hillary?
Yes.
Well, I think to some degree she's already done that. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's moving left. That's clear. She has to make it clear that everybody is welcome, and then she has to give the right speech. But the person who really has to give the right speech when this vote is taken is going to be Bernie. Because if Bernie's really angry and really thinks he's been robbed of his chance to be president of the United States and doesn't do it, then I think the Democrats have a very good chance of losing.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Meanwhile, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump says he's open to speaking with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to try to halt the communist nation's nuclear program. Trump told Reuters that he would have no problem speaking to the North Korean leader. He added that it would also put a lot of pressure on China because economically we have tremendous power over China. What do you think of that?
I think it's a brilliant move because here's Trump who says, I'll talk to anybody.
Isn't that what Obama said 9 years ago?
Yes, he did, and he was excoriated for suggesting he would talk to the Iranian leadership.
Some of the media said, he's thinking outside the box. Brilliant.
No, I think it's great to say that you would talk to anybody if it means peace and it means progress.
Sure, why not?
But then he follows it up by saying, and we got to put the pressure on China because they just have to make a phone call and they can just end this nuclear crisis thing. Cool. I think his simplistic analysis of what's going on in world politics is revealing to me that he's not really aware of what's going on. And concerning.
It's for someone who watches world politics and is incredibly complicated and is not as simple as having two beers at a bar.
Well, not to defend Trump's assertion, but doesn't China have the most leverage over North Korea?
It's going to take more than a phone call, is all I'm saying.
No, without question, they do. But I think there's been some evidence that China has been pressuring North Korea.
It's bad for business. Yes. It's very bad for business. And one thing we know about China is it's all about business.
Right. But they don't want it to all fall apart in North Korea either and have refugees coming over the border into China. And they don't want a mess. I mean, they have a very fragile situation, and they're trying to just sort of keep it from getting out of hand.
Mike, don't you think that these guys have, that the North Koreans have, that this madman, because he's a madman, has a nuclear weapon and will use it? I mean, that's got to be of some concern to them, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's not forget the oppression the people in North Korea live under. That is their life. But we can't set it up that we will capitulate on important issues just because we want one thing settled. I think it's just the stage has to be set very well. It can't be that simplistic, as Mike says.
Well, the great leader keeps agreeing to do things and to make changes, and then he just lies. So how do you deal with that?
Well, I mean, it's a serious problem. It has to be handled very carefully. And the thing that will succeed, in my opinion, is it's going to take cooperation between the United States and China. And I bet a lot is going on behind the scenes on the diplomatic level between the United States and China about how are we going to keep this guy from being nuts until somebody moves in to take over or something like that.
Well, it's not working out so far. By the way, our email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Judy Patrick is here, Mike Spain and Alan Shartok on the panel. Ray is in for Joe. 9:43 on a Wednesday morning. Of course, I ask what's in the papers today, but school budget votes across the state.
Schools did very well. The budgets exist. We didn't do very well in my hometown of Great Barrington, where
you don't get New York State aid over there.
Where the budget went down. It was a disgrace, to be honest.
So, Judy, what did you say before the show? 98.7% of the budget's passed?
I think it's even higher. I think it's in the 99% of budgets across the state, according to the School Boards Association, which very kindly put out a press release before 8 o'clock this morning to that effect. I was looking, because what we do, usually the story is the budgets that get defeated. And all the stories that I was reading this morning were that they had passed. Right. I found one out in Western New York, but according to the school boards, they found 10 that had been districts.
Across the state, which is remarkable.
And the long-term average from the 70s, I think, according to that press release, is about 75%, something like that, passage rate. So things are on the upswing over the last several years. Can the Cuomo administration say, okay, look, this tax cap is working?
Well, it's a couple of things. I think that's part of it, that the tax cap has made people not so angry about school elections. If you look at the numbers of people that came out to vote, it's in the hundreds. In cities like Schenectady, it's a few thousand or something. The turnout is terrible, but people aren't coming out against the school budget in the numbers that they have in the past, and partly because there's been a tax cap, but partly because there's more state aid this year. Finally, the state is sharing some of its largesse with the school districts, and they have ended a program that started in 2008 called Gap Elimination
Adjustment.
Right. What a name, a bureaucratic name. Basically, Governor Patterson put a limit on, you know, cut state aid to local schools that was, promised to local school districts back in 2008. And they've been suffering from that since then. It's been gradually reduced, but this year it's gone. So the,
a lot of state aid.
So between that and the increase in state aid that came from a robust state budget, they're hiring people in cities, and they're taking back, taking back employees, and they're expanding programs. So things are good right now. Next year, you're not going to get that jolt from eliminating gap elimination adjustments, if you follow me.
And we also saw yesterday the passage of a number of capital project referenda,
yeah.
which some bigger than others, but these are actually, voters agreeing to spend or to borrow money for big projects, to renovate schools, to overhaul libraries. Those often will get rejected of a school, but they didn't. What we saw out near Schenectady was some people get thrown out of the school board. We got some disagreements about still some lingering resentment over Common Core and testing. But in general, really strong passage of these budgets. Again, not really a great turnout. Typically, this is your largest tax bill, and it mystifies me why people don't care enough to come out and at least vote on this.
And if you ever have a chance in the listening audience to go to a school board meeting, I think you'd be quite impressed. It can be a political show, and they can get ugly at times, and it's an eye-opening experience.
Well, I mean, I watched what happened in Great Barrington. I'm still talking about it, still in shock, to tell you the truth. There's a regional agreement. Everybody's supposed to put a certain amount in. A couple of people got up and started screaming about how it's not fair that some of them didn't put the right amount of money in, or that the whole thing is being treated unfairly. And meanwhile, kids suffer from this, when you turn down a budget. We owe our children education, and I think almost everybody out there knows that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. What a better investment than invest in your children's education.
So I don't understand what you're saying. We owe our children education. Agreed. But does that mean you just could throw as much money as you want at it?
No. And in fact, I'll tell you right now, one of the things that I'm fascinated by in our particular case is that they knew that there was a certain amount of anger out there, and they went and they really did a terrific job of keeping the budget down.
Yeah.
So it is not, if they were asking for a huge swimming pool, I'd say no. I would say no. Use the swimming pools that are around, that are available at the community center and other places. But basic things like changing the roof at Monument Mountain Regional High School, that's got to be done so some kid doesn't sit there in the rain.
It wasn't that long ago that this area would see budgets rejected, and then we'd have revotes and revotes well into June, sometimes two or three revotes.
Yeah. And school districts would take out sports, and then they'd have to have community fundraisers to support sports. I mean, that's not that long ago.
And by the way, they always do that. Yeah. They take the band out.
So isn't that emblematic of an inherent problem in the way things are? Because the first things that go are, in fact, things like sports and arts.
It's just
like
that in state government. When they cut the state budget, they'll cut parks and they'll cut things that affect people directly. They won't cut bureaucracies that you never see. And so things like sports get knocked out. But it hasn't happened. Judy, you've observed there's not this anger. That has been there in the past, but maybe except in a few local parochial incidents. But
this gets back to my question about whether, in fact, the Cuomo tax cap has worked because of the optics of all this. In other words, if you stay under, then everyone says, well, that's just fine. Let's just check the yes box.
I think you're right. I think it has a psychological impact. They're staying within this tax cap, which it was only under 1% that they could go above to. I mean, it gets very complicated. The tax cap means that they cannot raise the tax levy. That's the amount of money they collect in property taxes beyond the rate of inflation or consumer price index, whichever is lower. So it's a very low consumer price index, so it's under 1%.
Did we, in the press release that Tim Cremer sent out, did we actually see the percentage of school districts that went over or tried to go over? I know you need a super majority of voters to pass if you're above the tax cap. Yeah. And what percentage of school districts.
I don't know
that.
Statewide, but in our area,
right? Northville had to do that, and they got 70% of the vote. Gloversville had Mechanicville and Gloversville. They both, fewer had to get that supermajority this year than last year.
Let's take a quick break here. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Judy Patrick, Mike Spain, and Alan Shartok on the panel. Ray in for Joe. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Third Eye Associates Limited, life planning, transition planning, and wealth management, registered investment advisors with offices in New York City, Washington, D.C., and the Hudson Valley. ThirdEyeAssociates.com. Allardyce Ace Building Supply, providing lumber and building supplies for commercial and home needs with locations in Malta, Saratoga Springs, and Milton, New York. Allardyce.com. And Suburban Services Group, serving the Capital Region for nearly 40 years, featuring Generac automatic standby generator installation and repairs, air conditioning, heating, and plumbing services. We make you feel good inside. SuburbanServicesGroup.com.
The Roundtable on WAMC, 9:51 on a Wednesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Our panel today is Judy Patrick, Mike Spain, and Alan Shartok. A federal appeals court has delayed the release of a list of unindicted co-conspirators in the 2013 George Washington Bridge lane closing scandal. A ruling from the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia yesterday called for a June 6th hearing to decide whether to release the list. One of the people on the list has challenged its release, arguing that his due process rights will be violated if the list is published and he would be branded a criminal. A federal judge ruled last week that the list should be released by noon yesterday after a request from media organizations, including the Associated Press. Two former allies of Governor Christie have been indicted and faced trial this fall. A third pleaded guilty. So this person, this John Doe, and I asked the newspaper people specifically, does he not have a right, not having been indicted of anything, to not be branded a criminal? Why should the papers be asking for this information?
My opinion is, and I speak for myself.
And you're very important to us, Mike.
Yes, right. My opinion is that if a grand jury looks at a horrific event like stopping traffic for political reasons and causing this great disruption that happened with Bridgegate on the George Washington Bridge, and some people's actions rise to the level of criminality, they should be charged, and they have, and their names have been released. What about some people whose actions are wrong, and they participated in this, and they did not behave well, and they're public officials on the public payroll, and their actions don't raise to the criminal level, but they still did bad stuff? We should know about
then
it.
Then why be called a conspirator in a crime is a criminal?
Well, we don't.
Why be called an unindicted co-conspirator? That is a terrible thing to call
well,
somebody.
Well, we don't know why, but we don't know that trial, as you just indicated, hasn't happened yet. And some of these unindicted co-conspirators may be the people who come and put the nail in the accused's coffin.
I haven't heard unindicted co-conspirator since Watergate. I think it's a great term. it just means that there's a lot of people helping.
And I'm not even clear that that is what this person is going to be labeled. Again, I agree with Alan. If this goes to trial, all these people will have to testify, or if the grand jury issued a report, obviously we need to have access to that report. And what Mike says about if this is a public officials are involved and did wrongdoing, we write plenty of stories about public people who do wrong things who are never charged with a crime. Conspirator sure has a negative connotation.
It's pejorative, right?
Well, the New York Times has a big piece entitled "Push by John Doe to Block Release of List Adds Mystery in New Jersey Bridge Scandal." Some are calling it a political parlor game to try to guess who John Doe is. Republican State Assemblywoman Holly Schapese says, quote, in this New York Times piece from today, "When people hear the phrase unindicted co-conspirator, the implication is no longer, unfortunately, okay, you didn't commit a crime. It is you very probably did something criminal, and somehow you skated," Ms. Schapese said. "It's like having a big scarlet letter put across your chest
for
the rest of your life." Isn't that true?
Yes.
But it's based on facts that were introduced about your behavior, and it just doesn't rise to the level of criminality. Doesn't mean you didn't do wrong.
Or it may rise to the level of criminality, and they may have decided they could use your information to leverage something else. Any of that is possible.
It happens every day in county court where somebody gets up and testifies and charges are not brought against them even though they were involved in a crime. So they can get you, Ray. So I'll testify because I went into the convenience store with you to stand by you as you robbed the guy.
Yeah.
And I'll testify against you? Yeah, it was me.
Good.
And I'll testify against you so I get off. It happens all the time.
Now, my understanding is the judge has ruled that it should be released, but there's an appeal. Is that where we stand?
Correct.
With this?
Right. So,
a big-time Manhattan lawyer to fight
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Right. So that adds to the speculation in the New York Times of who it is, because this lawyer ain't cheap.
Has anyone speculated about whether it might be the governor of New Jersey?
People have.
And it's probably not, we think, right?
Well, he's being considered for the vice presidency.
He's also apparently doing a fundraiser tomorrow, I think, in Jersey to try to recoup some of the money he spent on his campaign, and Trump will be there to help him. So,
and he's going to be in charge of the transition committee. Did you see that?
Yes.
Right. So
whatever that means, because I don't think
Mr. Trump has been
elected yet.
a whole bunch of people are now, being considered who was once considered passé. Rudy Giuliani, for example. Remember when he tried to get Bernie Carrick, who turned out to be one of the great criminals in our time.
He did get indicted.
Yeah. And was imprisoned.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he wanted to make him head of Homeland Security. So they're bringing all of these other guys out, the old Republican crowd.
Yeah. I was just recalling Dick Cheney was put in charge of the commission to pick a vice president for George W. Bush.
Yeah.
And who did he pick?
You make a point. Yeah. He picked himself. That's a good, great point.
Right.
The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. You want to get a letter or two in before we wrap it up here?
Well, I do. Bill says, very nice to have the subject maneuvered back to point. The bifurcating he's, and word repeating becomes old for me. Nice show, as they all are today.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Yeah, thank you for that. Okay, and mail. I need an explanation from Tammy. I'm very touched by National Public Radio's willingness to accept funding from the Koch brothers and the Wall family. Since when did NPR on this station or the station sell out? I really need to understand this, as I'm seriously considering withdrawing my support. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is, half of the money that comes to WAMC comes from underwriters. And there's always somebody who says, I should decide who should be on the radio. Now, I take it. Both of your papers take ads, right? Take ads.
Sure, we advertise.
You turn them down?
Of course.
Yeah. So I just want to point out that sometimes we've even taken an ad which we didn't really quite realize what it was, who the group was. And we have actually terminated contracts. We don't like to do it, but we have. Now, as for NPR and the Koch brothers, I want to say this one last time. NPR and WAMC are different entities, period. And, I can pretty well assure you that we would not have taken the money from the Koch brothers. We would not have here at WAMC. That simple. So now
we only have about 45 seconds.
Okay,
left
very quickly,
here.
Put your money in the lockbox and do it now so that we can depend on you and we can turn down things like the Koch brothers.
What if the Koch brothers want to put a couple hundred mil in?
That's their problem.
Okay, fair enough. Well, the email address, if you want to complain, is roundtable@wamc.org. Judy Patrick, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mike Spain, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Alan, appreciate you being here as well. Hour number,
really?
More or less. The hour number two of the roundtable is straight ahead.